setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. Those are a bunch of questions that, when answered, essentially show you your purpose in your work. And you do have purpose in your work. It is completely tied into your personal purpose. You were created to work. What do I mean by that? I don't mean that your identity is what you do. What I'm saying is that you were created to contribute, to make the world a better place by using your talent, what you do best, to do work you love, passion, to accomplish results that matter deeply to you, mission. Simply put, your purpose isn't about you, it's about others. And there's no reason why anyone should have to be miserable on a Sunday night or a Monday morning, or both. And so if you're saying, okay, Ken, I know there's more, I want to get there, help me, I'm your guy. Counselor, coach, and cheerleader, all one phone call. That's what you get. And it's free, Joe. We don't even charge people for that. It's just a toll-free number, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Sutton is in Kansas City, Missouri. Sutton, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, got a question for you.
Yes,
my
sir.
Wife and I are considering a move out of state, So I purchased your resume templates online.
Okay.
On the top, I need to say who I know, But I don't have many connections in the new area. Just looking for some guidance.
Okay. If you don't have any connections and you think you don't, you need to still work through it and go, okay, wait a second. Who do I know that I know that I know that I know that I know? You know, it's that 3 and 4 degrees of communication. If you still can't come up with a connection in that company that you're trying to apply for, what I then recommend is relevant references. So what field are you going into, or what field would you be in? What type of work?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out still. Years or so, I've been on staff at a church leading worship and student in the weekend services. But Now moving across the country is a terrible time to find a church job, I have found.
Really?
In my search for another worship position.
Huh.
Yeah. In both of the places we've been looking at, I've had trouble.
Okay.
So I'm just like now trying to consider what's a different route I could go just to put food on the table.
Well, I would not. Do you feel called to ministry and worship ministry in specific?
Oh, definitely. But I'm not sure if it has to be vocational.
Good.
Like, I believe that I'm called to a life of ministry. But
right. I love that.
I've worked with a bunch of awesome volunteers that I would just love to serve a church in that way myself, too.
So what type of work do you feel like right now? Let's just take out my sweet spot analogy of talent, passion, mission. Let's just do talent alone, okay? Mm-hmm. Just for sake of conversation. What type of work are you most talented to be able to do? Just a plain old job. What talent? What type of work?
Probably project management.
Okay.
I think... All right, I've worked with the team my whole life.
Great. Do you have any friends that are in project management?
Yeah, sure.
That's who
Definitely.
You then that's what I if they are successful project managers and they have the title or something very similar to that, if you can't find a connection at a company that you're trying to apply for once you get there, then I would put in if you're applying for project manager jobs, I would put in 2 strong endorsement statements from people who are actual project managers. And they're saying, not, you know, Sutton's a really nice guy. Boy, I love hanging with Sutton. No, it's as a project manager who blah, 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 I know Sutton personally and absolutely am convinced that he has the talent, the makeup to be able to do this work. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're trying to get their attention because it's a different looking resume and that's going to do it. But when they read those first couple of things, we want them to say, oh, here are 2 project managers that are endorsing this guy as a project manager. It doesn't mean they're going to go, oh, hire Sutton now. But That's the point.
I just wasn't sure if it'd be weird if I just like put two random names.
It would be absolutely weird.
Random name at the top.
Yeah, we don't. That section is not for random names. You know that. If you read my resume guide, it's not for random names. And by the way, that's what most people put on a resume and references anyway. They're random. They're more character references. Well, here's the deal. Character references are overrated. I want you to be able to validate, hey, I can do this work. And that's what that section is for, okay?
That's good.
All right, man, you got this. 844-747-2577. David is in Bend, Oregon. David, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. I've got a situation I may be a little too close to here that I'd love to get your input on.
Okay.
I'm 29 years old, and I'm having a bit of a quarter-life crisis, you might say. So that's pretty fun. Right out of high school, I did three years of an internship in my dream field, which is pastoral ministry. Mm-hmm. All the while going to Bible college to increase my credibility. I have a passion and talent for public speaking. I love coming alongside people, helping shepherd them in their faith, counseling them, all that good stuff. But quick story, I was interning at a church, eventually got my foot in the door, accepted a volunteer coordinator position. But when the job opened up that I was originally shadowing for, and I was encouraged to apply by my superior, mentor, head of the department at that time, HR actually didn't even give me an interview, which really sucked. It took the wind right out of my sails and really soiled my hopes of going into pastoral ministry.
Why?
And so that was five years ago now.
Whoa, stop. Why would you not getting this one opportunity completely knock you off the path towards pastoral ministry, which is what you feel called to? How would one rejection knock you out of the game?
That's a great question. I think for a long time I was narrowly focused on that particular church. It was kind of like my home church and kind of the one that I was raised up in. And the idea of working somewhere else always kind of felt weird to me. So I think I kind of tabled the idea because of that. So I think that's a big part of it.
It's not a big part of it. It's the entire part of it. So I understand rejection hurts. I'm not in any way belittling that rejection stings. It stings a bunch, but you can't let the sting of rejection knock you out of the game. I understand it was your home church and all these other things, but if you feel called to pastoral ministry and speaking and shepherding, that's what you said. Either that's true or it's not. And so, my friend, you're not in a quarter-life crisis. You're in an emotional crisis. You need to get emotionally healthy. Now, you could do that one of two ways or both. You can go see a counselor and just really deal with the rejection and some of the stuff you're dealing with. Or you can get a couple pastoral friends in your life who will speak truth over you and go, dude, you've got a call in your life. You don't get to decide whether you're going to do that or not.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Definitely.
So there's no crisis. No. There's no crisis. You need to get back up and say, God, I'm going to get back into this. I know I'm called to preach, called to shepherd people. And so I'm going to get back out there and I'm going to walk forward by connecting and then through connections, getting opportunities to apply. And then I'm going to interview. And then I know you're going to open the door at the right time. That's the end of the sentence because you've said nothing to me that says you've been released from that call. So whatever it is you got to do to stay afloat until you get in ministry, then do that. But don't you dare quit. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we talk about you and what you were created to do. Boy, that's a fun topic. Because you were created to fill a unique role in your work. There is a type of work. It doesn't mean one job or one career path. I'm not talking about that specific. I'm just saying, like, there's work. You know, so you know, the work of you were put on this planet to advise people, or you were put on this planet to advocate for people, or you were put on this planet to be a caregiver, a creator, a finisher, an influencer, a performer, a planner, a promoter, a protector. Just having some fun here with this. When you really grab this, like, this is the work I get excited about. And then what is the result of my work? Oh, man, I'm all about efficiency. Oh, I want to achieve. I'm about putting scores up on the board, baby. I'm all about solutions, Ken. That's my mission. I want to create solutions. Some of you want to be about creation. I want to create things, ideas, content, products, services. Some of you say, I just want to serve others. Some say, hey, I want to influence. What is it? What's the results or result that you get fired up about? When you understand what you want to create or what you want to accomplish and put out into the world, then you begin to realize, oh, what work aligns with that result? Do I have the talent to do it? Ding, 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 ding. Your purpose is to use what you do best, talent, to perform work you love, passion, to accomplish results that matter to you, mission. 844-747-2577. Hey, we just launched the second installment of our very popular Get Hired events, a live stream event. It'll be coming to you April the 27th, 8 Eastern, 7 Central Time. From Ramsey Solutions World Headquarters here, we have a live crowd. And then we will stream to the rest of the world, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, April the 27th. I'm going to focus on the first three stages of my seven stages to meaningful work. That is, get clear, get qualified, get connected so you can get hired. And this is a great event for people of all occupational situations, right? Maybe you're coming out of college, getting started. Maybe you're restarting due to COVID. You've been doing a couple of part-time jobs looking to get that full-time job. Maybe you're switching from one field to another. If that's you or somebody that you know, tickets start at just $20. We have several ticket tiers with a lot of other goodies attached to the ticket. $20 ticket, basic ticket, $20. You can purchase at DaveRamsey.com/events. That's DaveRamsey.com/events. All right, back to the phones we go. Burbank, California, where Chris joins us. Chris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I was laid off at the end of 2020 from my corporate finance job.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it was a bummer. I've been getting interviews, which is super encouraging, and feel like the right opportunity is coming very soon. So I want to be prepared for the conversation with human resources about a job offer. I want to be respectful and grateful that they want to offer me a role, but I also don't want to leave something on the table that I should have brought up during those conversations. So I've been thinking about questions and topics to ask, sort of like, you know, how long should I take to consider the offer before responding back? If I feel like maybe they're lowballing the offer based off of market research that I've done, should I start a negotiation right then, or should I wait till kind of a second conversation, or do it via email, or
bonus? Let's go through those questions one at a time. That way I don't have to remember as much and I can just answer right there. So give me the first question again.
So how long should I take to consider the offer before responding back?
I wouldn't go more than 48 hours. I mean, I'm assuming
48 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go more than that. I'd go 24. My goodness. You applied for this job, so you should know enough about it, whether you want it or not. They offer you the job. That leads into your second question.
Yeah. So if I feel like they're lowballing the offer based off of market research that I've done, should I start in the negotiation sort of right then, or should I wait to do it in a second conversation, or should I do it via email with them?
I would not do it via email. I don't like that because, when you type words out in a text or an email, people can read emotion into things. We've all been victim of that, right? So what would happen is I would call back before 48 hours. I'm more of a 24-hour guy, 48 max. but you would call back, and let's say they offered you something, and I'm just making this up, they offered you 40, you did your research, and the market value has a range of 40 to 46,000. Okay. And let's say that you really need the 46. It's kind of a walkaway number for you. This is all an example. Okay. And what I would do is I'd call back, say, hey, thanks for the offer. I really want to do this. I'm excited. That's why I applied. You guys, your offer's at 40 and I need to be closer to 46. I did the market research and the range on this position is 40 to 46. And I just can't take it at 40. And I just can't. I need, just on where I'm at in my life and my financial situation, what I've done in the past, I need to be at 46. If we can get to 46, it's a green light for me. I'm in. See, that's not a negotiation. That's just, here's the deal.
Right.
I don't like negotiating. There's no need to negotiate. Because I love the way you brought this up. If you do your market research and you see the range, you have to look at your own personal budget. And you got to put your feelings aside and go, what am I willing to ask for here? And I'm going to ask for it.
Yeah. Yep. And how about if they don't offer, say, a signing bonus, is it appropriate to ask for one at all?
No.
No. Okay.
Gosh, no.
Sounds good.
Sorry. I'm just real passionate about that. Never ask for it.
Sure.
If companies do signing bonuses, it's because they either do it or they think they need to do that for you. If they don't offer it, do not ask for it. They may go. They may tell you to go pound sand.
Got it.
Yeah. You're a good man.
Do you have any other questions or topics that I should be thinking about in that conversation?
Well, I think you know, I would never bring up money until the very end of an interview series. So if you feel like most of the interviews are done or one particular interview, then you might be able to read the room. And if you feel it's appropriate, bring it up. But I don't like to do that. I want you to go in and give everything you got, and you're just assuming the best and being very positive. And then they make you the offer at that point. Then you can tell them, I can't do it for this. This is what I can do it for.
Got it.
And then it's take it or leave it. There's none of this back and forth stuff. Because when you start talking money in an interview, they better be bringing it up, not you.
Yeah. I would never talk about it in an interview. Only once HR actually reaches out with an offer.
Exactly. All right. Yeah, you're good, man. Don't overthink it. Always, always, always default to, how would I want someone to act in an interview setting if I was in, you know, so when you put yourself in the person who's interviewing your shoes and just think through the way you say things, the way you act, really try to get in that zone. And I don't think you can go wrong there. And I don't want you to turn that into this analysis paralysis, but just think through, hey, how would I, if I was in their shoes, want someone to talk about this job? How would I want them to ask questions about things that they really need to know? And I think when you do that, it just gives you that last check on, is this going to be cringy? Is that, by the way, my kids say cringy. Have you heard this before, Madison?
Oh yeah. The young people say it.
That's why I asked you. I didn't ask Joe. You notice I didn't say, Joe, have you heard of cringy? Because Joe would say, no, I know the word cringe.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. See, you and I, Joe, would say, that could make somebody cringe. The kids now say, ooh, that's cringy. You know how I know this? Because apparently I say things in my own home and do things in my own home that are cringy. And it usually amounts to, how dare I kiss my wife in the kitchen in front of the kids? Oh, Dad! That's cringy. Okay. Which makes me kiss her more. Drives them nuts. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear so you can get qualified. We'll help you get connected so that you can get started. We're going to help you get promoted so you can get the dream job, so then you can work like no one else. You work to give yourself away. At that point, you've made the money. Money's good. You're fine. But it's never been about money. It's been about meaning. And so now you're working for legacy. Impact. And that is significance. And when you get significance in your work, guess what? Success follows that. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. 844-747-2577. Because of the podcast of this radio show, we get callers from all around the globe. And it makes me so happy. Jason joins us from across the pond in England. Jason, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hiya. How you doing?
I am living the dream, Jason. Where are you calling from in England?
Basingstoke.
Oh, I love
it. South of London.
Yeah, fantastic. How can I help today?
I'm really struggling. I'll try and keep this concise, but I've been looking at your passion, talents, and what matters, the Venn diagrams and the stuff, but I'm a chartered chemical engineer. I'm 37, but I'm trying to get into data analytics coding. But I just feel like I'm constantly studying, learning, because every week I get distracted by a new thing I want to learn.
Yeah.
And I want to change my job because I don't feel passionate I don't know. It just feels like the wrong place to be, but I don't know what actually I like doing or what I'm passionate about. Like you say, the passion thing is something you love so much that time flies by and everything. But
well, I think you do. Hold on a second. Let me dig into what you've told me so far. Let's just see if what you've told me so far is in fact the truth. You said you would like to get into data analytics. You are you say chemical engineer currently?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Does this ring true to you that as a chemical engineer, you are doing the work of solving, but as a data analyst, you are doing the work or would be doing the work of analyzing? Does that ring true to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at it that way, does the analyzing work get you more exciting than the solving work?
I struggle to answer that question because, I like the idea of analysis and stuff, but when I actually do it, I sort of get exhausted by it. So, and I have this feeling of I should be doing it because it's a difficult job and it pays well. But when I actually do it, I try and keep up with the studying, but then a couple of weeks go by without doing it, then I have to force myself to go back into it.
Okay, so are you currently doing some analyzing work now as a chemical engineer?
So I've just forgot to say that the last 3 years, I managed to change my jobs from chemical engineer to data analyst in the same company.
Oh, but I didn't. I was unaware of that. Okay.
Yeah. No, sorry, I didn't tell you that.
Oh, okay.
But the company itself isn't... Their main job isn't data analysis, so it's sort of like a back office type job. So, and it's a very small team, and I'm basically teaching myself. So it's not like I'm
okay.
I don't want to stay there.
So what would you? I mean, so I just a guy like you who's a constant learner. That's what I'm hearing. You love learning stuff all the time. Is that right?
Yeah.
So are you? And so what's happening is you'll get onto a topic, an idea, and you start researching it and learning about it. And you start going, oh, I think I want to do this. And then something else catches your eye and you do the same thing. And that's causing confusion, correct?
Yeah, I'm a magpie collecting all the shiny objects.
Whatever. Yeah, yes and no. What if you stopped looking at that as a critical thing, as something that's like a bit of a negative, and you start to look at it as a positive? What if you shifted that and said, I'm a natural learner. I love learning. I could say... researching. I could say that. I could say, here's what I know about my friend, Jason. He loves researching things, getting to the bottom of it. You are a learner. Is that a true statement about you, Jason?
Yes.
So what if you grabbed onto that and that wasn't some sort of magpie thing, as I think that's what you said, or like it's some sort of negative, and you went, wait a second, the work that I love needs to have a huge element of learning /researching. Would you think that statement is true?
Yes.
And especially if it is like this rotating, I've got to research this, and then that's going to lead me to something, and I'm going to do something else. So I think the fact that you love to learn and research and you love variety, you've made that a negative, and I think you need to harness that as a positive. And I also think that there is a huge clue as to the type of work you would love to do. What do you think so far?
And yeah, and my mind's reeling what the clue is.
Hold like, on, I'll give you the clue. I'm asking
sorry,
you,
I thought you said.
Are you on the same page with me?
Yes, yeah.
You know what your problem is, though, Jason? You're too busy thinking and you're not feeling. You're an overanalyzer by nature, right?
Yes.
Yeah, what if I told you to stop thinking and start feeling? Do you understand the difference? Instead of you trying to figure out the job position, how much it makes, how long it would take you to get qualified, that's where your brain goes. Your brain goes into hyperspeed trying to figure out, instead of going, what do I want to do all day, every day? So I want you to answer that question. What would you do tomorrow, Jason, if you had guaranteed success, the money you need to make, and you knew you couldn't fail, and you didn't even have to commit to it? It was just, here's a fun work adventure. Ken set it up for me. I get to go do it. Forget about job title, Jason. Stop thinking.
Yeah.
Forget about sector. Stop thinking. What would you be doing during the day to when you got done, you went, wow, I love that, time flew. What would you be doing most of the day?
I would not be in the office. That's one thing.
Okay, keep going.
It's like the memory that just comes up is when I was younger, I would just sit around in a... look at bugs and look at plants and stuff. So just that whole observing nature and looking at nature and like constantly finding out what's here around the corner, what's there. And so it's that.
There you go. Hold on a second. Stop.
Yeah.
Do you admit this to me or tell me that I'm wrong? But I think that when you allow yourself to voice what you just said, which is from your heart, that you kind of look at that and go, well, that's silly boyhood stuff. I can't make a living doing that type of thing. Is this true or false?
Yeah, there's a part of me that's already judging it.
But that's wrong. Are there people who make a living doing observing and researching type work?
Yeah, there's lots of people.
Okay, so go find them. What are those jobs? What are those industries where people get paid to observe bugs and plants and animals?
Mm. Yeah.
Bro, it's not childish.
Yeah.
It's not silly. I believe that's who you are. I think that's the most beautiful thing I've heard today. Is that you went back to boyhood and you went, my heart, Ken, was on fire and I got lost when I was observing bugs and plants and recording information. See, that comes back to what I started out with you, which was helping you see who you really are. Your heart beats faster when you are observing, researching, learning, journaling, whatever. That's the work you need to do. So here's the next step. You've already got some ideas, and you've readily admitted that people make a living doing that. So you need to go do a bunch of research and go, what are all the things that are observing, learning, researching, journaling, blah, 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 blah. And what fields are those in? And then you begin to look at those and you go, which one of those interests my heart? And your heart's going to reveal a ranking, if you will. There may be one clear winner. Yeah. And then you ask yourself, what does it take to get qualified? What do I have to learn? What do I have to do? That's experience. How much is that going to cost me? Based on my financial reality, how long will that take? And Jason, you're a natural learner. When you answer those four questions, what do I need to learn? That's the education question. What do I need to do? That's the experience question. How much is that going to cost? That's the economic question. How long is it going to take? That's the expectation question. Jason, buddy, go get those answers. And guess what? You're going to have a plan. That's why I give you those four clarifying questions, folks. The answers line up beautifully in the form of a path. Oh, that's so good. Jason, go observe. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. continuing to bring you clarity so that you have the confidence you need to courageously stay on the path, because life is going to throw hurdles and curveballs your way. And it is clarity which gives you the confidence, which then fuels the courage that you need. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Ellen in Miami, Florida. Ellen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
You bet. Ellen, how can I help?
Okay. I'm looking for some guidance in translating my mission statement into a job title and then finding a practical path to get there.
Okay. Well, I guess you got to hit me with it, but go slow so I can follow along.
Okay, so what I put together here is I want to use my top talents of managing and organizing creative projects and my top passions of identifying the core message and bringing it out in a unified way to uncover people's goals and dreams and make them a reality.
That's fantastic. So we need to dive into the last piece, mission. Talent, passion, mission. You just read your purpose sentence. For people that are following along, she's been a good student, folks, listening to the Ken Coleman Show. I love this. So who are the people specifically? I love that. Read that part again. Read the mission answer, and then I want you to define those people and the specific thing you're helping them with. Read it, and then answer that.
To uncover people's goals and dreams and make them a reality.
Okay, great. So what type of goals and dreams?
So I split it up into a few different ideas. One was to help people that need help organizing and getting clarity, like people that have an idea, getting them clear on what the idea is.
Okay, hold on a second.
Really looking to
what kind of idea? Are you talking about career, money? What are we talking about?
One of the ideas I had was like working with small businesses and kind of figuring out their core message.
Great.
And their core goal.
So that's more of a marketing type role, meaning that it's about messaging, right? So that's a strategic message output. That's what you want to help companies with.
Right.
So it's small businesses, right?
Right. Okay. So that's one idea, but I keep on going in different directions.
All right, give me another concept.
The other one is party planning. I have experience in party planning, so coming up with the idea of what they're trying to get across in the party and the messaging. And
love that. Okay.
Putting that out there.
Is there anything else up there with those two?
And then project management in general, but I don't know if that, where that comes in effect.
Okay, so party planning, an event planner, party planner. Okay, call it event planning. You're looking for job titles. And by the way, I don't want you to get hung up on job titles, but I'm going to answer your question. But you're looking for like event planner, party planner, that type of thing. Project management, that's a project manager. That kind of work, right? Project coordinator, you know, details and back-end systems and, you know, whatever. That kind of work, all right? And then the first one is truly, it's a marketing branding type position. Okay.
Right.
So of those three, do you believe that all those are in your sweet spot? Do you have the talent to do all three of those types of work?
I have the talent, but I don't know if I have the qualifications.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you, do you have the talent?
Yes.
All right. Are you excited about that work? Do you have the passion for all three of those types of work?
Yes.
Great. And do all three of those types of work create results that matter to you? The answer is yes. You already told us because we pulled this out of your mission. So now we can talk about getting qualified. But we're first saying, are all three of these in my sweet spot? The answer is yes. So really, you could pursue all three of these. But really, your heart needs to vote on which one you would most love to do. And of those three, if you were guaranteed success in all three, could not fail. But you can only choose one. Which one would you choose? You already answered it, so just say it. Somebody who takes that long to answer, your brain's already run two or three scenarios. What was the first one your brain came up with? Say it.
Project management, I think.
Was that the first answer in your head?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you do. All right, do the exercise again. Sit with it. I could only do one of these. Which one would I most want to do?
The marketing is definitely what I want to do.
That's what I thought. It was the first thing you talked about. That's the evidence. So now, what's it take to get qualified? Where can you do it? This is the Ken Coleman Show. Setting men and women on a course to meaningful work. Purpose in your day. That's right. You don't have to hate Monday mornings. You should be excited about it because you're doing something great that you're great at, that matters deeply to you. This is what we do here on the Ken Coleman Show, and we're thrilled to have you. We're just turning light bulbs on. We're just having a blast. Because everyone listening to the sound of my voice matters. The reason you matter is because you were created to fill a unique role. Somebody out there needs you to show up and be you. Not a knockoff of somebody else. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Bailey joins us there. Bailey, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm at a little bit of a crossroads. I feel like I have found my sweet spot in my passion and mission. So a little backstory. I moved down to Texas to gain more experience in the field. I'm a registered dietitian working in private practice.
Okay.
And I had the opportunity to come down here and work, and then I wanted to go back up to where I'm from and start my own practice. And I had the opportunity to go into business with my current boss, who is just amazing. She's a master in her field. And I know that I would have great benefits working with her and being in a partnership. However, in the time that I've been here, a lot of promises and things that were said have not been proven. And so now I'm a little skeptical going into business with something like that. I know that I can do it on my own. It's scary, but I'm really weighing the pros and cons of what to do in this situation.
Okay, so make sure I understand. You are working right now as a dietitian.
Yep.
And you're working for a company, and your current And your current boss is getting ready to start her own company.
No. She's been in practice for like 26 years, okay. And she has totally mastered it.
Got it. So I missed it. I promise I was listening. I just didn't listen very well. So
I don't know if I explained it very well. So I have the opportunity to go into partnership with her.
And staying in the company, but just moving into partnership.
Moving into partnership.
That's where I got confused. I'm sorry. Now I'm tracking. Yes. You're not leaving the company. You'd stay in the company, but you go from employee to partner.
Right.
Okay. And you're concerned because she's made lots of promises and very few, if any, have come true.
That's right.
Okay. And the other opportunity would be, I can do this, Ken. I can go start my own thing. So the weighing the pros and cons. Okay. Got it. Now I am caught up. I'm sorry. I missed that. So
no, I'm sorry. I probably didn't explain it very well.
No. It's good. It's. I just missed one detail. I got it now. Okay. So if you go start this thing on your own, how long is it going to take you to get up and running in your mind? Best guess. And if you don't know, that's one piece of homework. You've got to be able to answer that question. And then there's a second question attached to this. I'll let you answer both. Financially, okay, so, do you have that kind of independence to be able to go without pay for a while?
That's another piece of the puzzle. So yeah. I'm currently working on paying off my debt, my student debt. I have $37,000 left, and I can have it all paid off by April 2022 if I keep my focus going the way that it is. I'm using the Every Dollar app and following baby steps and everything like that. So financially, no.
It's not an option because that will set you back.
To go up.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
No. Go out on your own right now. It's not an option because you don't just start.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm this isn't my question. I'm in a 2-year contract. And so the contract ends in December this year, 15th.
Okay. But she's already extended, but she's already talking to you about becoming a partner. Would it be just you and her?
Okay, that's, you know, we've talked about it even since the day I moved down here. And I had the impression that it was just me and her. But since being here, I know for sure one other person she's talked to about the same type of thing. And so I just don't know. And I know that this is a conversation I need to have with her. But I was just weighing my options on my side. You know, if I work to get somebody else hired in and leave her on a high note, you know, because I don't ever want to do anything negatively. I appreciate her
sure. So
much. She's fabulous. And so I don't want it to be a negative thing. But I actually have connections back up in North Dakota, where I'm from. I actually started my own practice up there already. And it was in a partnership. It's a kind of a confusing... I'm young.
Gosh.
I'm only 20.
You're amazing.
I'm only 25 years old.
You're amazing. But you got me so confused right now. I'm like, I think I know what's going on now. But you know, now you got this other practice that you're a partner in, but you're not there. So here's the deal.
That was before. Yeah.
Okay, so you're not a partner still in that deal.
No.
Okay. All right. So listen. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let me tell you what I think you were feeling. And you're asking me essentially what I think. So let me make sure I'm clear. I think that you don't have a good feeling about partnering with her. Certainly not now that we know there might be another person coming into the partnership. And the fact that while she's a master at what she does and you have mad respect for her, she kind of promises and doesn't deliver, and that concerns you. And you don't see yourself long-term being in business with her. Am I correct so far?
100%.
Okay, great. Oh, this is so much better now. Okay. And so you're saying, Ken, what's the pros and cons of two options? And basically, neither option that you presented to me are viable. You don't want to be a partner with her, so that's not an option. And you can't start your own thing right now because you need the finances. You need income. So that's not an option right now. So... your option to me is you need to stay with her until you find something else where you go be a dietitian back in North Dakota for maybe the practice that you started and there's no interruption in pay. And thus you can stay on the baby steps and you can pay your debt off and then keep walking that track out and eventually start your own thing. Because I think that's what you want to do. You want to start your own thing, but you're not ready to do that financially. You're going to have your debt paid off, an emergency fund funded, and then what I would call a floating fund, which is beyond your emergency fund. You would have to have, I think, minimum 6 months of your salary saved so that you can start your firm and not have to rely on it. I think 6 is minimum. I think it may be close to 12. That's what I think the path is. So are we on the same page now?
Yep.
Good. Do not start this thing right now. You're not there. You're so close.
No.
You're so close.
So that's okay. So that was it. I'll stay here. I really want to move home. It's not home here. And that's just a totally.
Hold on a second. Listen. You can move home. I don't mind if you move home. I just don't want you to have an interruption in income because right now you're about a year out from being debt free. That's amazing. So. You don't have to stay with this current company. Your contract's over on the 15th anyway, and she's going to make you choose. There's no way that she's going to talk to you about being a partner in her firm. And then you kind of go, I don't want to be the partner. And then she goes, oh, well, we'll extend your contract on 15th. It's time for you to leave. So I'm saying, get back home. That's where your heart is. Get a day job if you got to get a day job until you can get back into being a dietitian and you're debt-free is what I'm saying. Okay?
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
You got this. Listen, this is another example, folks, of why I'm always saying, I'll never stop saying, follow your heart. You must follow your heart. You must follow your heart. Here's why. If your heart is feeling something and pulling you deeply, and your head is trying to talk your heart out of it, your head can win the early arguments, and maybe even for a while. Never, ever, ever, ever will the brain drown out your heart. And you're going to have to confront this at some point. So follow your heart. Hey, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.